tonight. Just, I ask you just bear with me for a few minutes to get to where I really want to go, but along the way we got some good nuggets, so hang in there, all right? Genesis chapter 1. That's an easy one to find, isn't it? Very beginning of the Bible. All right, Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Hallelujah. Remember this morning I preached on, do you really believe in God? Amen. Is God really real? Do you really believe that? Well, do you really believe that verse? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, I love this. And God said, let there be light. I don't know. I wish I knew. I wish, you know, I know when the children of Israel came to the mountain where God was going to present the Ten Commandments, that the mountain was shaking and quaking and there were thunderings and lightnings. And I don't know if that's always the way it is, you know, when God speaks things like this. I'd like to know, wouldn't you, did he say, let there be light? Or did he say, let there be light? I don't know. Anyway, something for you to think about. Let there be light. And there was, everybody say it, light. Amen? And there was, say it one more time, and there was, hallelujah. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And I could go on and read down through this, but what I really want you to notice is, and God said. When God speaks, man, isn't that something? When the voice of God splits through this universe and stirs the atoms and the molecules and, I don't know, all the stuff that it stirs, my goodness, the voice of God. Hallelujah. I was in a classroom one day. I think I mentioned this morning I used to do a lot of substitute teaching. And I was doing a Spanish class one day, because I know a lot about Spanish, you know. No hablé español. That's about all I don't speak Spanish. And so I'm in this class. I don't know anything about chemistry either, but I had to do that too. But so I'm in this class, and the teacher left instructions, and she had a worksheet that they were all working on, and she said, just let them sit at a table in the back of the room, a fairly small class, and let them work together. It's a good class. They know what they're doing. It's Spanish, too. You know, they've got their feet on solid ground. And so you won't have any problems with them. Just let them do their work. And so I was doing that. And all of a sudden, I hear one of the boys in the back, he looked up and he said, Mr. Bond, you need to talk to this boy. And I said, well, why is that? He said, because he said he doesn't believe in God. And this boy that said that was not really, you know, didn't exemplify the Christian life. I mean, I don't know, but he didn't exemplify the Christian life. But he knew this boy needed to talk to me because he said he didn't believe in God. And the boy said, no, I didn't say I don't believe in God. I just said that I'm studying atheism, like the boy I talked about this morning. And he said, isn't that amazing how many young people are studying atheism? You say they wouldn't want to hear the word of God. They're looking for religion somewhere. And he said, I just said I'm studying atheism, but I'm not an atheist. I don't know what I am. I just want to find out what I am before I get out of high school so that I can start the rest of my life on a solid religious setting, so, you know, foundation. And the boy said, okay, all right, you know, and they both kind of put their head back down. And the boy that said he was studying atheism looked at the other one. I'd never seen this kid. Never, I don't remember ever having him in class. Don't know who he was. But he looked at the other boy and he said, and why do I need to talk to him? And he said, because he's a preacher, dude. So I said, look, the boy kind of looked at me and I said, look, if you have time and you want to come and talk to me, I'll be here, right here at this desk. You're welcome to come anytime. Well, we were on a block schedule, so the classes were like, I don't know, an hour and 40 minutes or 2 hours, something like that. And so they had plenty of time. And he got done with his work, and he came up, and he said, so do you mind if I talk to you, Mr. Bond? I said, absolutely not. And he said, you know, I'm studying atheism. I just want to get some thoughts from you. I said, all right. He said, you know, kind of almost mockingly, he said, so I guess you talk to God, right? And I said, yeah, every day, a lot of times, every day. And he kind of smirked a little bit, and he said, and so does God talk back to you? And I said, yes, he does. And the smirk went away. And he said, how do you know God's talking to you? And I said, well, let me just take you through this story. And I went back to the time when I was lost, and I knew I was lost, and the weight of sin was so heavy on my shoulder, and the guilt and the pain that it brought was so great. But I knew that it was God speaking to me, but I didn't want to answer. But finally, I went to an altar, and I got on my knees, and I said, God, if you'll lift this burden of sin, if you'll take it away, if you'll wash it away, I'll serve you the rest of my life. And I said, I know God heard me, and I know that He answered me, because that guilt lifted from my shoulders and the pain went away and joy filled my heart. And I haven't had to struggle with that. So I said, there was a beginning of how I knew that God was speaking directly to me. And then I went on and I told him about how that God called me into the ministry. And It was. I'm not going to tell the whole story, but I was at an early morning prayer meeting, and God spoke to my heart and called me to the ministry. And I got up from there, and on the way home, I was riding with an evangelist, and he said something that confirmed, you know, what God had said. Not saying God called you to preach, just, you know. But I got home, and I was so worried because I didn't want to have to tell my wife. She was a Christian, you know, but we got married. I was in business, and she had, you know, she didn't sign up to be a preacher's wife. She was raised Catholic, and so I just didn't know if she was going to understand when I walked in the door and said, hey, guess what? I'm a preacher now. And so that night we were laying in bed, and I still hadn't told her, and I was just laying there worrying about how in the world am I going to tell her. And I know I need to, you know, and I know she's still awake. I can just tell, you know, how you can tell your spouse is still awake. And I'm laying there, and she's laying there, and all of a sudden she says, God called you to preach today, didn't he? And I said, how'd you know? She said, because I was at work, and I was in the back room, and God spoke to me and told me he did. And I just want you to know that wherever you go, I'll go with you. I submitted to the call. And over, I told him multiple times of things that happened that just confirmed that and made me know that God not only heard, but he was speaking to me. He was saying to you, the call is real. I want you to keep going. I've got something in store for you. I've got a special place for you. I have called you. And so I know that God speaks to me. And I just went on with some other stories and stories of other people. He sat there and tears start coming into his eyes. And I said, listen, class is going to be over shortly. Why don't you come and visit our church? Come to a church service, or if you're not comfortable with that, I'll meet you there anytime, or I'll meet you in a restaurant somewhere, and we can talk this thing out. And he looked at me, and he said, you don't know, do you, Mr. Bond? I said, I don't know what. He said, this is my last day here at this school. I said, your last day? He said, my last class of my last day here at this school. When I go home, we'll finish packing the truck, and we'll leave tonight or in the morning. We're moving to Lake of the Ozarks, and I won't be here anymore. Never walk these halls again. I said, the last hour of the last class. He said, and God sends a preacher to be a substitute teacher. I said, it kind of sounds like God's been listening to you, doesn't it? He said, kind of does. I said, it kind of sounds like God's speaking to you too, doesn't it? He said, just what I was thinking. He said, I'm going to leave here today, just a few minutes, but I promise you, when we get to where we're moving, I'll find a church, and I'll try to find this God that you told me about today. I don't never heard from him again. I don't know anything about the rest of his story. But I know that day he believed God was speaking to him. Amen. God speaks in multiple ways. We know that. If you've ever had or heard the voice of God speaking to you, and if you haven't, boy, I pray that you go home and you start praying, God, I want to hear your voice. I want to know you're speaking to me. Boy, if there's ever a time that the church needed to hear from God, it's now. Amen? This is not a time that we need to go into with, shaky foundations. We need to hear the voice of God more than ever. And so I pray that you ask God to speak to you. We know that he speaks in different ways. There's sometimes I've heard him like he was right there in the room with me. The time he called me to preach, and Brother and Sister Jarvis, we were talking about a heart attack that I had one time, and I was dying, and I prayed. I said, God, I don't, I'm okay. I'm ready to go to heaven. It'd be fine with me, but I've got a wife and sons, and I sure would like to stick around to see my grandkids, and if it's, any way, I'd like to live. And God spoke to me like he was right there in the room, and he said, you're not going to die, but you have to go through this. I heard the voice of God. Amen. But other times it's been like I told you, right after I was called to preach, right after the next day, I had a store. I was getting ready to go into the store about noon that day, and went through the Dairy Queen, and the owner of the Dairy Queen that I knew real well, he walked, was in doing the window, and he looked at me. He wasn't a Christian. He'd been raised in church, but he wasn't a Christian. But he looked at me and he said, Greg, what's different about you today? I said, I don't know. He said, no, there's something different today. I was dressed like I normally was, driving the same car. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. What do you think? He said, you look like a preacher today. God speaks in crazy ways, doesn't he? Amen. So we know he speaks in different ways, and I hope that in some way you have had that experience of God speaking to you. And if you don't, or you haven't, and you're praying, God, speak to me in an audible voice, don't worry about that so much. Just ask God to speak to you in a way that you know that it's him. Amen. Listen, when God speaks, things change, don't they? Everything changes. God said, let there be light. And there was light. I love that song you were singing tonight. I didn't know it. I never heard it. But it had in there something like, God makes bones into armies. And he makes turns a sea into a highway. And something else I can't remember. But when God speaks, everything changes. Amen. Everything changes. When God speaks to you, you change. You remember old Moses, he was on the backside of the desert and he saw a burning bush and he went up to see what was going on in the burning bush and God tells him to take off his shoes and he does and he's standing there and they have this little talk and little debate. But, you know, here's the deal. When he went up to that bush, he was a man, just a man. But when he left, after God spoke to him, he was God's man. Amen? You may be just a man or just a woman or just a child, but I'm going to tell you something. When God speaks to you, it changes you. When he calls you out to be something very different. You're not just a man or a woman, but now you're a man or a woman of God. You're not just a boy or a girl, but you are a boy or a girl that has been spoken to by the Almighty God. Amen. And he changes and transforms you into something wonderful. Moses went back and to Egypt, and I guess, you know, kind of in a way they were saying, what's different about you, Moses? What is it? It doesn't even sound like you talking, you know, that telling us we got to let your people. What's different about you? And he said, it's because I heard from I am, and I am sent me. When God speaks to you, it changes you. When God speaks through you, now we're getting down to where I want to go tonight. Now when God speaks through you, the possibilities are endless. Amen. You're looking at me like, I'm just a man. I'm just a woman. God's never done anything big through me. I just go to church, and someday I'm going to go sweeping through the pearly gates because I had perfect attendance. And God's saying, that's not the way it's going to work. When I say well done, I don't lie. Amen. When God, listen to me, I teach a lot on the gifts of the Spirit in different places. And I was at a little Assembly of God church in Missouri, and I was teaching on the gift of helps or works. And after I got done with all the teaching, I was telling how important that gift is. And so then later on, I was asking, did this study help anybody? And this guy raised his hand and he said, I did not know how called of God I was to be a worker, a helper. I just thought all I know how to do is work. But you see, God was speaking through him in ways that he didn't even know. And wasn't aware of and didn't become aware of until he understood that he was gifted to do what he was doing. I'm telling you, when God speaks through you, it makes a difference. Whether it's you in an audible voice, or you hammering a nail into a board that holds up something at the church, it's if you're just scraping off the sidewalk in front of the church when it snows, or you're washing the windows of the church, it does not matter. When God speaks through you, it makes a huge difference. Huge difference. Amen. Well, I just feel like inserting this here. I may use it a little bit tomorrow night, but you know, one of the things they do surveys in these big organizations, and they always want to know why people choose a church as their home church. And do you know either the number one or two thing for years? Years, I checked this for years, and always. I'm talking about organizations like the Assembly of God, Church of God, Baptist, Missionary Baptist, on and on, down the line, Lutheran, Presbyterian. And you know the number one or number two thing every year was this, the first impression. When people walked up to a church, they could tell that it was cared for. Somebody cared. Now, they could look over like big expensive things like painting the building, but they couldn't ignore fingerprints on the doors. They couldn't ignore bushes that weren't trimmed or a lawn that wasn't mowed. Number one or number two, Brother Bond, God never speaks through me. If you can drive a lawnmower, He's got something to say. Amen. There was ever a time when the world needs to hear from God. It's right now. Not just the church, but the world. Amen. There are so many other things that have risen up and are shouting loudly, trying to dominate the attention of the world. You know what I'm talking about. Right now, how many things are going on in this world, big, big, big things, that people, they watch the news and they're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe it. It's worse yet today than it was yesterday. So many things that are trying to dominate the thoughts of the world, amen. And you know why that is? It's because the devil, Satan, is trying to crowd out the voice of God. He doesn't want people to hear the voice of God, because all of these things I said before, he knows. God, when he speaks, it changes people. It changes things. He doesn't want people to hear the voice of God. So he brings up this clatter, this clutter, amen, that keeps people's mind involved in so many other things. And right now there are so many things clamoring for people's attention. It's like Elijah in the cave. The world, and the church too, is like Elijah in the cave. You know, we rush to hear every loud sound we hear. Isn't that amazing? Even the church. Man, did you hear what's going on in Israel? No. Did you hear what's going on in California? You know what the governor there did? I don't know. I don't live in California. It's probably not going to affect me anyway, but tell me. I want to know. We run to hear every loud noise, and a wind comes crashing through, and it looks like everything stable is about to crumble, and we think, oh, is this God? When all of this started, I can't, how many people on Facebook were saying, oh, God's coming tomorrow, you know, he's going to be back. I just expect God's in all of this. You know, he was in the presidential election, don't you? God is going to do this, and God's going to do that he never did do. And But we run to every noise that we hear. And then there's an earthquake, and it shakes the foundation of everything we hold dear. God's not in it, but we run to hear about it. And then a fire that threatens to consume everything. And we run and we say, is God in the fire? He wasn't in the wind. He wasn't in the earthquake. Surely he's in the fire. And all of a sudden, something makes Elijah pull his mantle up over his head and walk to the mouth of the cave. And you know what it is? It's a still, small voice of a living God who cares nothing for earthquakes and wind and fire. Because when he speaks, everything is going to change. And what the world needs to hear right now is not the church making another loud noise. And believe me, there are plenty of churches making a lot of noise. But what the world needs to hear, I'm talking about your world, your friends, your co-workers, your family. What they need to hear is a still small voice that comes from your heart, the voice of God speaking to them through you and saying, you know, God's got it all in control. Amen. Maybe, just maybe, we're having all this so God can get your attention and let you know that He's coming back soon and He wants you to be ready. Isn't that a great message to be able to give? Amen. And we don't have to do it loud. Amen. You can do it on a telephone. You can do it in a text message. You can do it in a card. You can do it by email. You can, you at work, you don't have to say it real loud so everybody can hear it. Just when somebody comes in and they're going through it, man. I mean, they've experienced the wind and they've experienced the earthquake and they're experiencing the fire right now. And you can walk in and you can just put your arms around them and say, listen to me. I've been there, but God spoke into my situation. And if you let Him speak into your situation, things are going to change. Amen. The voice of God. What does the world need to hear? They need to hear the voice of God. And well, it'd be great, wouldn't it, if He stepped out on the precipice of heaven and, you know, maybe like He did when He was creating light and He says, let there be light. But He's not going to do that. He's got a body here in this world, and He's going to speak through His body in a still, small voice. But when He speaks, people are going to listen. People are going to listen. Do you hear me? People, you've been praying 7 months for revival. People are going to listen. You've been praying 7 months for awakening. People are going to listen. Amen? Don't you let the devil tell you nobody wants to hear it. They do want to hear it. They need to hear it. They're desperate right now to hear the voice of God. Amen. Let's all stand tonight. Heavenly Father, we stand here tonight as Your body. We are Your voice in this world. You're not going to echo from the mountaintops or the clouds. You're not going to shout from the raging sea. But God, through us, Your mouthpiece, You're going to speak. And it's going to be just what people need to hear. You have the right word for the right time. We don't, but You do. And Lord, if we just submit ourselves to You and commit ourselves to being Your mouthpieces, Lord, oh God, oh, the whole of London and Laurel County in this area is going to be shaken. Not by an earthquake, but by Your voice spoken through Your people. Lord, help us tonight, God, to get all of the crud and all of the clutter out of our minds and out of our lives. Lord, empty us tonight so that we can be filled with Your Spirit, so that Your Spirit can speak what He wants when He wants. Lord, let us not lean into our own understanding or our own wisdom or knowledge, God, but to trust only in You and what You have to say. And Father, we thank You for it. We give You glory and honor tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, as You call Your church forward to speak into their hearts, God, we honor You. Amen.